This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We declare the glory of your name. We are not ashamed of it, Father, to declare it, to proclaim it into the spiritual realm. That you are God, that you are the Creator. You've created everything we see. You've created us. You love your creation. You love your creation so much that you've sent your Son so that we can call you our Father. Thank you for that privilege, Father, what we've got, that nothing is holding us back, that we can come together this afternoon and that we can hear what is on your heart, what you want to share with us. And Father, that you've got appointments with each and every one in this room. Heart-to-heart connections, Father, we pray for this afternoon. We know that the enemy doesn't like it, but we've got authority. And in the name of Jesus Christ, spirit of religion and any other unclean spirit over here, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. You're not going to distract this afternoon. That all of us can look up to you, Father, and that we can come and that we can hear from you, and that we can go out afterwards and that we can proclaim it into the world. You alone are God, forever and ever. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's awesome to be back again. And you know where we've been. We've been in South Africa. Today's title is, what is your priority? This is what the Lord gave to me. And I want to show the first picture. You can show it, Ian. That was my priority for the last few weeks. And that's family. And that's what I enjoyed of spending time with. I felt like Abraham. The youngest child over there, his name is Abraham. And it's awesome. That was my priority. That's where I spent time on. And that question is also posed to us. What is our priority? What is our priority now? And priority means that something that is more important than other things and it needs to be done or dealt with first. And I'm going to ask you now something. With your neighbor, in front of you, at the back, or whatever, just share, what is your priority at the moment? What is so important in your life at the moment? Just quickly share it. Okay, the priorities are changing as our lives are changing. And we most probably all had different priorities when we shared with each other. And there's no good and there's no wrong. All of you are getting coffee or tea afterwards, so don't worry about it. But priorities are changing according to the day, the time of the day, the month, the week, time of the year, and also the season of our life. Where are we and what is important for us? And priorities are changing, like I said, continuously changing. And sometimes priorities are pushed away by other things which become so urgent that we haven't got time to spend time on our priorities of what is really important. Then we've got to do the urgent things, one after the other one. But it's good that we can be reminded again of what is our priorities, and more specifically, what are the priorities of us as God's people? What should be our priorities? And if we've asked, what is your priority now? Now you can share with each other what you think, what is God's priority? So you can share quickly again with each other. What do you think is God's priority? I want to have a look at God's priority by looking at Isaiah 43, verses 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I've made him. We've been made for his glory. And that's the priority of God, that we should understand it, that we should accept it, and that we should live it out, that we are here for God's glory. That's why God put us on this earth. And that we are here for other people. And when we are giving God glory, then we are ascribing splendor and majesty to God. Then we're giving him all the honor and we give him all the glory. And if we take a look at our Father, it's actually summarizing that as well. It's putting all these things, putting it all together where it starts. In this manner, therefore, I pray, our Father in heaven, If we can say our Father to God the Creator, then we recognize that He's the Creator of heaven and earth. We call Him our Father. We've got that relationship with Him. And that's what God wants. The rest of the Our Father is just actually confirming it. With the Our Father, it is so important that we can say that. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And as I'm reading this, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors, I feel that the Holy Spirit is saying this one in the congregation at the moment, because this is the only part which Jesus repeated again at the end of the Our Father. He didn't repeat any part again, only that part. And I feel that the Holy Spirit is saying there's somebody here in the congregation who still has got to forgive somebody. And if it's you, please do not wait with it. Because if we are not going to forgive, God is not going to forgive us. Do not wait with that. Forgive that person. The last sentence, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Because it carries on and it carries on and it carries on. And that's God's priority. God's priority is not limited to time. God's priority is carrying on forever and ever. Our priority has got a certain time when it stops. Change of season, or maybe at the end of our life, then it stops. But the priority of God, that relationship with God, that carries on forever and ever. And if we take a look then at the priorities of us and the priorities of God, can we wheel and deal a little bit with God? Now, I had a little bit of a search on Google and I found a picture, and I'll explain to you of what actually happens over there. I had a privilege, if I can put it that way, that both my grandfathers from both sides were farmers, and they would go on a Monday to the market and then they would sell the livestock over there, or they would buy additional, whatever the situation was. But then they would clap on their hands and then they would start negotiating. So if the one says 100 gulden, the other said 80 gulden. 95, 85, 90, 90. They would shake their hand and agreement would be made. Can we do something like that with God? Can we negotiate with God? Can we go to God and say, okay, I'm going to give you 1 hour a day. And God says, I want your whole life. 2 hours a day. God says, I want your whole life. 3 hours a day. God says, I want your whole life. Can we negotiate with God? Can we come to a type of a negotiated agreement as what the people at that time made as well? Can we do something like that? Quickly share again. Those who say, yes, we can negotiate with God, please remain seated. And those who said, no, we cannot negotiate with God, you can have a coffee and a tea. We cannot negotiate with God. God is perfect. He's got a perfect plan. We cannot try and squeeze in our priorities and say, God, now try to do my priority and pray and say, okay, just God, this is my priority now, and I want to have this and I want to have that. No. God's priority first. And only God's priority. Okay, but if God's priority is the most important thing, how are we going to find it out from God? How are we going to find out from God what His priority is? I'm privileged to be married to Renee for 35 years plus. And I can only find out from her if I speak with her, if I communicate with her, if I listen to what she's saying, and if I say what I feel, and so on and so on. And it's the same with God. We've got to communicate with God. If we want to find out what the priority is, what God has got for our lives, then we've got to communicate with God. And I've split it up, the communication with God, in three parts. The first is that we've got to read the Bible. Reading we do with our eyes. We read the Bible. And God has written everything what we need to know in the Bible by using other people. It's about himself. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's the basic of salvation of Jesus Christ as well. It's telling us as well what we should do, and it's telling us also what we shouldn't do. So we should read the Bible. In Romans 12 verses 2, it actually summarizes, it's awesome. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. In this world, we continuously get inputs from outsides, which are changing and which are trying to push certain priorities in our lives. If we take a look at the advertisement, it tells you must buy a house, you must go to the bank and you will get a loan. You must buy a car, you must buy that fast car, you must buy that watch and that ring and those clothes and all those type of things. Continuously the world is putting that on our plate and continuously we're getting it. But we shouldn't be conformed to this world. We should be transformed by renewing of our mind. Continuously we've got to feed ourselves what God is telling us. And that's, the Bible is one of those where we've got to read what God is telling us. The next one is that we've got to pray. And pray is that we're going to spend time with God on our own, and that we're going to speak to him, that we say what is on our heart. We just now had a look at the Our Father, where the first part is then, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your name be holy. Let your name be purified and consecrated. Let your name be sanctified. And if we're going to start praying and we ask God to show to us what is important, then steadily we're going to change. We're going to make open up for what God wants to share with us. That sentence of Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, is not so unknown for the Jewish people. The Jewish people used it in Jehovah, hallowed be your name, and they used it quite a lot in different parts in their prayers. But over here, it is totally at the beginning, where the position of it is very important. It's about God, and his name should be hallowed. And everything what is coming afterwards, it's just giving it meaning to it. And Jesus prayed exactly the same in John 12, 28, where he also says, Father, glorify your name. And if we pray, then we bring God's priorities. We bring it into our lives and we make it first in our lives. The third one is listen, and that we've got to use our ears. So the first one is then that we read. Second one is that we pray. The third one is that we're going to listen. The part what I want to read is in Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village. This is Jesus and the disciples. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him in her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which is not to be taken away from her. We can more or less imagine it, that you've got two sisters, and Jesus is coming into the house. The one is sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to Jesus. The other one is busy making coffee, stroopwafels, meatballs, all those type of things, continuously busy. And then Martha, who's so busy, comes into Jesus and says, help me, Lord, tell her to help me. And how many times are we not doing that? That we are telling God, speak to another person, to change the way we want to be. But that's not the case. We should pray and ask that we can see the person as God is seeing it, and that the person will understand the one who's praying over you, the Martha, that she will understand it's not her way. What Mary was doing, that was the good way. But Jesus also said to her, to Martha, Martha, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. One thing. And what did Mary do? She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. He was using the guidance in her life of what Jesus was giving over there, which will not be taken away from her. That busyness, what Martha was doing, it was going to stop. When Jesus was going to leave the house, it was not necessary to be busy anymore. And that's sometimes with us as well, with our priorities, that we are so busy with it, but it's only for a certain period. The one thing, God's priority, will always be there and cannot be taken away from us. Jesus was saying, Martha, Martha. He also said, Simon, Simon. And also said, Paul, Paul. And that reflects the intimacy what Jesus had with the people. Where he said to Martha, Mary has chosen the good part. And we've got to choose that part as well, to sit at Jesus' feet and to listen to Jesus and hear what he's going to say. So if we're reading, and if we're speaking, and if we're listening, then we're doing the communication with God, which is going to renew our mind, which is going to continuously change our mind. There's an old proverb which says, all those who open their mouths lose their eyes. And if you first think about it, then it sounds a little bit strange. Then you think, okay, if you open your mouth, you lose the eyes. But if we think a little bit more about it, then we actually understand what it says over here. If a person continuously speaks with tongue, he's not listening anymore, because it's all about the person himself or herself. It's just talking, 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 talking. And then the spiritual eyes, they're going to be closed. Spiritual eyes are not going to see anymore of what is important. So we've got to read, we've got to pray, and we've got to listen. And listen is very important. I want to tell you a story now about a young man who had a problem with that, the question, does God still speak to people? And I'm just going to, a few things I'm just going to make up. But anyway, the crux of the story is that we can listen to God. We can go to God and he will speak. It was a young man who went on a Wednesday evening. He went to a small group and the pastor was over there as well. And he was talking about, does God still speak to people? Or is he not speaking to people anymore? They shared about it. And after the small group, like some of you doing as well, after the church, you go and buy ice cream over there. They went and they had a cup of coffee and they had a pie and they spoke about it. And some of them were sharing. And they said, yes, they experienced that God is speaking to them, that the Holy Spirit is urging them to do a certain thing. And it was difficult for this person to understand it. And more or less 10 o'clock, he decided, okay, he's going home now. And he went into his car and he said, God, if you speak to people, speak to me as well then. And he started driving. And a little bit further in the road, he suddenly felt the urge that he had to buy 2 liters of milk. And he thought, is that you, Lord? And he didn't get an answer. So he thought, okay, I'm not sure about it. And he carried on. But that urge came back again. He has got to buy 2 liters of milk. Okay, so he stopped, bought 2 liters of milk. Whatever he had to do with it, he wasn't quite sure about it. Anyway, he needed milk at home as well, so it wasn't that bad. So he carried on, and he came at a certain street. Let's call it Poort Street over here. And he felt the urge there. He had to turn right into Poort Street. No, can't be. So he just carried on. But as he was passing the turn off, he felt he had to turn right over there. Made a U-turn. His GPS most probably said, recalculate, recalculate. Made a U-turn. Came back. Went into Poort Street. And he saw, okay, there's some offices over here and it looks like small factories and there are some houses over there, but it's tannish, it's a little bit dark over there. What now? And then suddenly he felt the urge, he's got to stop. So he stopped. And then he felt he has got to bring that milk to that house. But it's totally dark over there. Lord, I can't go over there. It's dark. They're going to chase me away. They're going to say I'm nuts. They must probably going to say, but what are you doing over here? But anyway, climbed out of the car, has looked at the house again. No, I'm not doing it. Went into the car, closed the door again. No, I'm not going to do it. You've got to bring that milk to that house. Okay, Lord, I'll bring that milk to that house. He went to that house, knocked on the door, and as he was knocking, he heard somebody yelling on the inside. Who's that? What do you want? So he thought, okay, let me turn around. And as he wanted to turn around, the door opened up. And there was a guy standing in jeans and a t-shirt. And he said, what do you want? And he was actually so afraid, so he just gave the milk. And he said, here's the 2 liters of milk. It's for you. The guy grabbed the milk, ran down the passage and started screaming and yelling. He wasn't quite sure what was happening. Then he saw his wife, what he assumed was his wife, also running to the kitchen, and then the guy was following her with a baby. It was all strange to him. And then the guy said, but why are you bringing milk? We've been praying for it just now. And the guy said, the Lord said to me, I must bring milk over here. I must buy and I must bring milk over here. But the owner of the house said, but how did you know that? We've been praying. We had so many expenses this month. We paid all the expenses. We haven't got money left. We couldn't buy milk for the child anymore. And we prayed. We said, Lord, please let somebody come. And the wife prayed and said, please send an angel. And the wife also said, are you an angel? He said, no, I'm not an angel. The guy was obedient. And as he could hear it, that they've been praying, and God used him to bless other people, he opened up his purse, took out the money, gave it to the people, turned around and went to his car. And then he sat in his car and he started crying. Because he experienced now, by being prepared to listen to God, how God wants to use people. But we've got to position ourselves. The same as what Mary did as well. She positioned herself. She was at the feet of Jesus. Not half in the kitchen and half with Jesus. She was with Jesus. He was listening what Jesus was saying. This guy exactly the same. He also experienced it. By positioning himself, going to God and saying, God, I want to be used. And God spoke into that person's life. And he could make a difference in another person's life. God is still answering prayers. And this guy was also prepared to listen and to be obedient. We've got our priorities. God has his priority. And our life has to be subject to God's priority, what God wants us to do. Hebrews 2 verses 1 to 4, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proven steadfast, and there and every transgression and disobedience receives a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. It starts with the word therefore, which means what was written before, and that is in Hebrew 1. And Hebrew 1 is about doing what God is doing and the miracles what Jesus has been doing. We must give the more earnest heed, we must give it super abundantly attention, that we must hear, lest we drift away In some translations, it says it slips away. It's like a bucket which has got holes in it. If you put water in it, it continuously flows out. We have got to hear. We continuously have got to be filled up. That it is not drifting away, that it's not flooding away. And that the things can be done. As what we read just now as well, with the miracle what a guy experienced in his life. God bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's all available for us to work through us, reaching God's priority. And I want to finalize with it, or I want to finish with it. We have got to find out what's God's priority for our lives. We can only do it reading the Bible, praying to God, and listen. Listen part is sometimes difficult, because then we've got to keep quiet and we've just have got to sit and hear what God is saying with us. But if we are quiet, God is going to speak into our lives. He will give us that urge. And sometimes it can be very difficult to start with, that you say, but what is happening now? I feel I've got to do a certain thing. Just do it. Just do it. Let just the Holy Spirit flow through you and just do it. Just trust it in what you're doing. So if you've got to buy 2 liter of milk, buy it. For whom it is, God will show you. Let's stand. And at the same time, I'm asking the people to hand out the symbols of the communion as well. What we're doing with the communion is that we're confirming the covenant what we've got with God. And I've taken 2 scriptures. The one is the one in Exodus, where God had a meal with Moses and some of the other people. And when Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people and said, "This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words." And then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw God, the God of Israel. And it was under his feet, as it was paved work of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hands. So they saw God, and they ate and they drank. There was a covenant which was done, and they confirmed it again with a meal. And this is what we're doing today as well. This communion, what we're doing is having a meal, confirming again the covenant what we've got with God. With the Creator of heaven and earth, what we've been singing as well, that he is holy, and that he has got so much interest in us. He wants to be our Father. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 is also writing, "And when he gave thanks, he broke it and he said, 'Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" And this is for us as well. It should be a reminder that if we're eating and if we're drinking, God wants to be in a relationship with us. And if we want to be in a relationship with somebody, we've got to communicate. We've got to communicate with him. We've got to read the Bible, we've got to pray, and we've got to listen what God wants us to do. "Take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You can take the bread. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And that's what we're doing when we go out, because that's the priority of God as well, that we should understand who we are and that we can share it with other people, with the people around us, working with us, studying with us, that we can proclaim the Lord's death, that he died for us at the cross till he comes. And he's going to come back as a judge. First time he came to save. Second time he's going to come back as a judge. We can drink. Father, thank you. Thank you that we could come and that we could listen to you, what is on your heart. You want to come closer to us. But Father, it's sometimes our priorities which are in between us, that we are so busy with our priorities that we do not see your priority, Father. And this afternoon we want to repent of it. I want to repent of, yes, it was nice with the kids, but it was time that I didn't spend time with you, Father. And we've got to be in communication continuously. And if you're here this afternoon and God is stirring your heart and you feel that there's a certain thing that you've got to bring to God because this is your priority at the moment, which is not God's priority, and you want to repent of it, and I'm inviting you to come forward that we can pray along with you. Because God's priority should be our priority. The work that we're doing, Father, on this earth is not isolated from your priority. The study what we're doing on this earth is not isolated from your priority, Father. Places where we stay and the places where we travel to is not isolated from your priority, Father. You want to use us everywhere where we go and every place where we are. You've placed us over there, Father, so that your glory can be reflected by us to the people around us. We thank you, Father, that it is all about you, and we give you all the glory and all the honor. Your priority is the most important thing in our life, that we do what you want us to do, Father. And I pray, Lord, that this week is going to be about your priority, that we will seek your face, that we will spend time with you, that we will read the Bible, that we will pray, and that we will listen to what you want to share with us. If the Holy Spirit urges us to do something, that we will not be running away from it, but that we will be doing what you're asking us to do, Father. And that we can next week testify how you've used us to make a difference in other people's lives. We give you all the glory and we give you all the honor, Father. And we thank you again that we can call you our Father in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. We still have got a few songs to sing, and if there's something in your life which you would like to, what I just now mentioned, you would like to bring to the Lord, which you feel which is between you and God at the moment because it's your priority, bring it to God. I'm inviting you to come forward. Do not wait with it. Bring it to God that we can pray in agreement with you, and that the relationship, that it can be opened up, that we can be used of what God wants us to use, to be used for, that we can do what God wants us to do. And that's not our priority. That's God's priority. Have an awesome week. And reflect God's light and God's glory to the people around you. And continuously ask God, what is your priority? How do you want to use me in this earth? Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.